más le gusta de este parade?
No, hombre, shut up, man. No, hombre. Ghost Bird, go.
¿Qué más le gusta de este parade?
No, hombre, shut up, man. No, hombre. Ghost Bird, go.
¿Qué más le gusta de este parade?
No, hombre, shut up, man. No, hombre. Ghost Bird, go.
Too bad, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing the best I've ever been doing. I've had maybe 3 beers, maybe 4 Palomas. Things are all right.
Look at this guy. You are buzzed. You are on one.
Well, it's Tuesday night, man. It's Tuesday night.
It's turn up Tuesday, right?
Yes, exactly. Tuesday night without Jose, which, good God, thank God we're done with that dead weight.
Damn, dog.
I'm recording right now, so I hope that's going to the front of the show. Faux show. Hey, man, 450. 450. You are a big time component of the show because you're on the, it's not bicentennial. What is it, a half centennial? Is there a word for that?
Yeah, what? Quadra half centennial?
Quadra half centennial show. Man, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, let's get it started. You good with that?
Yeah, man.
Let's get this party rolling. Okay, so congratulations. You have arrived at episode 450 of the SpursCast, the new look yet still original San Antonio Spurs podcast and radio show, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, and as you have probably heard this evening, Jose Grijalva is out doing bigger and better things. He's not here with us tonight. So to fill in those very, very small shoes is Mr. Ben Bornstein. Ben, how you doing, man?
A lot less comfortable now that I know I have to fill smaller than size 14 shoes.
You were size 14?
Yes, it's very hard to find shoes.
That's amazing. I've never seen you face-to-face, which was sort of the benefit of this dynamic between you and I and that, and Jose. How tall are you that you wear size 14 shoes?
6'3".
Oh, okay. Well, you're taller than me. I was like, I'm the old big guy on the show, but not anymore. Yeah, I'm 6'2", 180, size 11.5. So maybe I have small feet for my size.
Maybe that's it, man.
Well, today, unlike any other day, we're going to do a pretty short show. We are talking NBA Finals, man. We're not even really acknowledging the end of the Spurs season. It was kind of just crappy and it doesn't make me feel good because a lot of things negative happen there. Of course, Kawhi gets thrown out on that BS ankle injury. Game one, he's gone the rest of the series, as he should have been. I mean, once it goes down 3-0, what the hell are you doing? Why would you even bring him back? Of course, Tony wasn't there the whole time, right?
Yeah, I mean, without Tony, and if you can't win that first game without Kawhi Leonard and he got you up, it was almost 30 points.
Yeah.
You probably don't deserve to win the series. That's all it is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Spurs lost the series. I think Manu had a great series, a throwback series. He looked good. Great for him. I hope he comes back next year. I think it would just be so amazing if he's able to swing it and come back in next year. But if this is it for him, I think you'd go out with your head held high because I think he had a great series. What do you think about Manu's play?
Manu, he stepped up at the right time, man. It was fun to see that classic Manu Ginobili throwback, glorious shining bald spot games. It was fun.
he just left the sunroof open, right?
Yeah, at some point that thing's gonna turn into a moonroof.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, it was fun. He was great. He was. I mean, that's the stuff you dream about, right there.
Yeah, I mean, he just played great. He just played awesome. But conversely, dude, LaMarcus Aldridge, what is San Antonio doing with LaMarcus Aldridge on the roster?
I don't know.
Not winning the Western Conference Finals is what they're not accurate doing. So, I mean, looking forward to next year, I mean, they talk about they being the NBA punditry, which includes the show. they talk about the roster as needing an overhaul. And to some extent, I agree, but I'm really talking about one of their two cornerstone players, like LaMarcus Aldridge. Dude, you got to show up or you got to get gone. Otherwise, the rest of them, I mean, I'm with keeping that core together other than LaMarcus. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, if I wouldn't be upset if Pau Gasol walked and he opted out of that second year of his contract and the Spurs either draft someone or they bring over someone that they've drafted and stashed overseas, I wouldn't be mad about that because it looks like they're going to lose Dwayne Dedmon. As we've been on air, Dwayne Dedmon has already opted out of his contract, or he's told people he's going to opt out of his contract, and somebody is going to pay him who's probably not the Spurs. Right. So Dwayne Dedmon is gone.
Right.
David Lee, we're not sure about. I like David Lee a lot. I thought he played really great in certain spots. But you know what? The everybody wants to really belittle LaMarcus Aldridge here, but he had a couple of really nice games where he had no shooting help around him, and there's nothing he can do about that. With Kawhi Leonard out, there was nothing he could do, and that's fine. We have to give him credit for those games. But at the same time, there were a couple of really bad clunkers and duds he put up in the playoffs. That was just inexcusable. There were times specifically against the Warriors and the Rockets where they would play a smaller man on him, and he would settle for fadeaway jump shots. And it's like, you're a big man. You have a size advantage. You need to bury your man underneath the basket and dunk on him, or, you know, lay it up. And I don't know if he can get up there and dunk every time, but, you know, lay it up on a guy. So that was the part that killed me, was you not only were you having bad games, but you were taking bad shots and you were making it look even worse. Now, I'm not one of the alarmists who wants to get rid of him. I think that's a little ridiculous. I think one more year will do him fine. But
well, you're talking about me.
Well, there are a lot more people out there than you on Spurs Twitter out there who are super upset with Aldridge, which is understandable. But I think if the Spurs give him more shooters and they give Kawhi Leonard more shooters, or one more shooter, I should say, they'll be fine. Or if they can find a replacement for Gasol, if he doesn't opt in, if they find some sort of replacement who can actually play defense and shoot the ball a little bit, then I think they'll be fine. It's mostly a spacing issue, and some of it is Aldridge understanding that, okay, we can't let Kawhi Leonard be the star every single night. That is tiring.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys where I feel like it doesn't need to be an overhaul. I just strongly feel that LaMarcus should exit stage left. I mean, his trade value's never been lower than it is right now, right? And so,
which I think is one of the reasons you can't get rid of him, because I just don't think you're going to get value in a trade with him that you should be getting.
Well, but I mean, what value is there? Because I mean, talk about this guy who could take Portland into the playoffs with Damian Lillard, and they can play. I mean, they're playing way above their level when he's in Portland. He gets to San Antonio, where he's got superior talent all the way around. And the dude is just god awful. I don't even know how to describe it. It's really sad. I mean, it's really, really sad, because I feel like this guy should have played a whole lot better than he did. And Kawhi gets out, and I can see how that makes it more difficult on LaMarcus, for sure, because now, like you said, spacing, and then now it's like a one focus for your offense, and you can just trap down on LaMarcus, and that's it, right? But he wasn't doing any strong moves to the paint. He wasn't playing strong defensively. You could control your effort on defense.
That's true.
And I didn't see that, you know? It was just, man, it just felt like as soon as Kawhi's gone, remember when Popovich came out with that statement that said,
he's got to play. But I think the funniest part is, I think the game after that, that was his like 28-16 game.
Well, yeah, okay.
But after that, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, so if you punch a guy in the back of the head, he's going to move, right? So
he would hope. Yeah. Even if it's falling face first to the ground.
So, I mean, I get why he's motivated after Popovich calls him out, you know, publicly. But then after that, like you said, it just total drop off.
You have to sustain it.
What a freaking clunker at the end of the year. I mean, it's so disappointing. But I got to say, you know, people are talking about total overhaul of the roster. That's insane. Yeah, I mean, because they lost to Golden State with the dynasty in the Western Conference Finals. You should overhaul their roster.
And let's be honest. You know, even with Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard, an entire series, they probably still don't win the series.
They certainly make it more competitive. Right. I didn't have one in the series, but I mean, they go to 6 or 7, and, you know.
Right. So it's like,
sure.
So you want to get in a qualm over, so not you in particular, but people want to get in a qualm or, you know, an argument over, you know, oh, well, they should have gone 6 or 7 games. It's like, okay, does it really matter? I mean, if we're going to end the damn thing, let's end it and let our guys rest and get healthy. Like, Tony Parker is going to be out till January. I mean, we don't need him walking around on sidelines and things and waiting for Zaza Pachulia to stick his foot out to trip Tony Parker on the sideline. You know, we don't need that happening.
He's like trying to go get a crepe or some very French things, and Zaza just shows up out of nowhere and steps on his heel.
Yeah, just the worst.
So talk about that a little bit, though, because Tony is gone. He says, hey, he's targeting January, and I heard reports that he's just going to be a workout fiend in the off season. I actually dig it, man. I love the fact that he's not coming back to January. I'd even try to stretch that out and say, hey, man, can you come back in, like, March? And I'll tell you why. It's because Tony – it's not I'm saying, like, Tony's a bad player. I mean, Tony was doing well. I'm not a huge – at this point in his career, his best days are behind him. I think we all agree that. But, dude, if you could do 15 and 5, you know, 15 points, 5 assists, man, that's good play out of Tony Parker. I'd rather him rest. I mean, he's been playing pro basketball since he's 14 years old.
Yeah.
Like, give him a long time off. If he could come back in, like, you know, February, March or something and just pick right up with the team if he can – and let DeJounte Murray carry the weight for the rest of the season. I mean, Popovich is a great coach. Isn't this where we say, Popovich, show your coach muscles, right? and take a, you know, immature point guard who's not quite ready for prime time, but has shown greatness. Like, well, not
he's shown flashes.
He's shown goodness. He's shown flashes of goodness, a la Tony Parker at a very early age, right? And throw him in there and take DeJounte Murray and run most of the season with DeJounte Murray and let Tony Parker just rest. I like the fact that Tony Parker is going to be out for a significant stretch of the season.
I agree with you. And I think I don't say stretch it till March because you need to be playing
just a
with
while,
your
you know, a
if
while.
You can stretch it to February, I wouldn't mind that. But, you know, you need to be if he can play, he needs to be playing with the guys he'll be playing with. Like if that's the second unit or the first unit. So be it, but he needs to be playing with his guys for at least a few weeks before playoffs come because you don't want guys out of sync mostly. But the DeJounte Murray situation also depends on what the Spurs do in free agency because they are likely to lose Patty Mills.
Of course.
Do you really want Bryn Forbes being your backup point guard while Tony Parker's out? Are they going to go out and see if they can find a cheap free agent? There are a few out there. I think that might be decent fits. There's been a lot of talk about Derrick Rose. I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I'm just throwing it out there that he would be available as a free agent.
Well, let me talk about Derrick Rose for just a second. I'm not totally opposed to having, you know, a robot from the waist down like coming in and playing. I mean, the guy's had all these knee problems, right? That's not the worst thing to me to have a guy like that. The worst thing to me is that Derrick Rose on this team changes the entire way that they would have to play. A score first point guard, right? That's not it's just not what they need to be doing anymore. So Derrick Rose to me makes no sense. What do you think about that?
My thing with Rose is if you can convince him. Well, the thing is if he played, you know what though, Patty Mills is similar in that regard in that he's very much a scoring point guard. For the second unit, if you can convince Derrick Rose to play on the second unit,
which you won't be able to, but
which okay, well, if you could, if you could,
right.
I think he would be perfect for a second unit because he's a scoring guard, And he showed really good flashes this year of being able to play well. He was averaging 18 points a game and 4 assists a game. That's not bad at all. And even was averaging 3.8 rebounds a game. So he's not even a bad rebounding point guard. You know, that's more than Patty, I believe. I want to as far as rebounding goes. So, you know, he didn't shoot the three very well, and that's fine. He's never shot the three well. So you kind of have to live with that, but you say, okay, well, on the second unit, we make sure he's with other shooters. That way he has lanes to drive and he can create. So I think if and obviously it's a huge if, but if you can convince him to do that, I think he would be a good fit. I have to look at the list, but there are some other free agents out there that you might get on the cheap, mm-hmm. Especially considering San Antonio is very much over the cap right now.
Right.
And you know, depending on what Manu does, they could stay over the cap. So I think as far as Murray starting goes, I'd like to see it. I think it would be good for him. But at the same time, the Spurs need a veteran backup or a veteran starter who can dispel him when needed if he gets out of control at times, and who can handle the offense and handle an extra load if needed.
So what do you think about all that hype about Chris Paul? I mean, you hear that a lot, right?
And yes.
And so let me give you my hot take. Not only does it not work financially, that's just stupid. They'd have to gut everybody. I mean, it would be a team of like 4 people plus Chris Paul. Like, I mean, they only have 5 people on the roster to carry that.
You'd literally have to have a bunch of D-leaguers on your team.
Yeah, so financially it's stupid. Secondly, I mean, Chris Paul's better than Tony Parker, right? For sure. Right now, he's better than Tony Parker at this stage. Because he's playing well. Tony Parker's not playing at all, so obviously right now he's better than Tony Parker. But is he that much better than Tony Parker to command the kind of money that he's going to command? It just seems like such a ripoff for a 32 years old point guard, 32-year-old point guard who is just a tick above statistically than Tony Parker. And the reason he's a tick above on those assists is because he's throwing that crap to Blake Griffin, and he's throwing, you know what I mean? He's got DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin that are assist, you know, magnets because they play at the rim. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so,
which he would not have that in San Antonio.
Yeah, they're inflated stats. They're inflated. I mean, I feel like Chris Paul to San Antonio is just, it's just stupid. I mean, it's just so stupid.
The one thing I will say for Chris Paul is that he's a much better defensive point guard than Tony Parker, and he's a much better shooter.
That's everybody, though. Right. Better shooter. Better defensive, I'm with you, but better shooter than Tony Parker? That dude's got...
Yeah.
This year? I mean, just look at three-point statistics.
Yeah, he was shooting 41% this year.
And what was Tony?
Oh, I don't have that one right in front of me. Hold on a second.
This is a San Antonio Spurs podcast, and you got Chris Paul's statistics?
Well, okay. Oh, hold on. That's playoffs. In the playoffs, Tony Parker was shooting better than 57%.
Yeah, I mean, he was ridiculous when it counted.
But, in the regular season, Tony Parker was – nope, that's not what I'm looking for. so many options. Was shooting exactly – he made a third of his shots from three-point range.
Yeah, so
in the regular season.
Yeah, so a little bit better, right? Like 10 points better.
Yeah.
So
and Chris Paul is shooting like a hundredth of a percentage point better from overall, which is whatever.
If you want to get nitpicky.
I don't agree that you should pay stupid money for Chris Paul. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. You're right. He's 32, and while his game isn't predicated on athleticism, he's not going to have the same pieces that he has in LA.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that LA should be doing everything in its power to give him that 5-year, $200 million extension.
That's right.
So, I mean, if Doc Rivers does his job properly, then they should have Chris Paul for the remainder of eternity, or, you know, until he retires. Or falls over and collapses on the court because he's putting the entire damn team on his back.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, a couple of other things. I want to bring up one free agent name to you and see if this fits the mix. And then I want to talk to you about the dynamic of DeJounte Murray and Tony Parker, and then let's get to the finals, right? So okay. This free agent name, you talked about you need a veteran, and you just veteran point guard to play backup somewhere in that mix. That's a good shooter. You brought that up because you said Chris Paul would be a better shooter than Tony Parker. So the guy's older than dirt. He's been a nemesis for a while to the San Antonio Spurs, but they have a history of bringing in rivals onto their team. And Jose is going to punch me in the throat when he hears he says me say this name. But rolling off of his deal with Milwaukee is the Jet, man. Jason Eugene Terry is going to be available. Why would you not bring in a guy who's a legitimate three-point threat? I mean, we're talking like all time. You start adding up those the three-point stats. Jason Terry's up there. Three-point threat. Fine point guard for sure. He's been a star in the league at certain points in his career and a serviceable player forever. I mean, since he was with Atlanta, right? Championship winner with Dallas. Jason Terry seems like not a bad bridge. If you're going to have DeJounte Murray potentially starting the year, bringing Jet off of the bench. Not a bad solution in my mind. What do you think about that?
He makes me uncomfortable because he's more of a shooting guard. But I think he can make it work. I have another name for you. How about Deron Williams?
I'd love it. I love it.
Okay. Unrestricted free agent.
So, and he hopefully will win the title this year. Right.
And he'll be happy, and then he can be like, well, now I can chase rings forever. Or I can go wherever and take less money to go after rings, whatever.
You know, Deron Williams would be great. But is Deron Williams a scorer, though? I mean, is he a scorer? I don't really remember him as his Utah days or his Nets days. I just don't remember him at all as being a scorer.
He can be. He's a very good – he was a very, very good point guard. Right now he's probably just a good point guard.
He's
but
a
that's
good
really
backup.
All the Spurs. Yeah. I was going to say, that's really all that the Spurs need.
Yeah, he might be like one of the best backup point guards in the league, for sure.
I mean, I have a stupid list of names here for point guards. Like, Raymond Felton is available.
Pass.
A lightly used Shelvin Mack.
Pass.
Michael Carter Williams.
Interesting.
Pass. That's a pass.
Okay,
that's a hard pass, sir. Let me tell you, that's a hard pass. Aaron Brooks might actually be all right.
Really?
The Aaron
Duck
Brooks.
Man.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Former Rocket great.
Yeah, and Indiana does not have his bird rights, so they can't offer him more money either.
Okay.
Trey Burke might be an interesting option.
Really?
He's restricted. He's restricted. But Sean Livingston is unrestricted.
Okay.
You know what would be funny? George Hill coming back.
Is he available?
He is unrestricted.
Then forget this conversation. You know that Popovich is going there. I mean, there's no
that's
doubt.
That's his boy.
There's no doubt about it. Oh, that would be great. How big of a loser is Indiana and Larry Bird for pulling off that bogus stuff now that got, George Hill for Kawhi, and then for an immature George Hill, by the way. Like, Popovich was betting on potential with George Hill. Then you get the George Hill for Kawhi. For the rights to Kawhi. Now you got Kawhi, and then you bring back George Hill. Like, when George Hill's ready to actually play. Like, that would be awesome.
Would that not be incredible?
That would be awesome.
And, like, George Hill would just be like, hey, Pop, what do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to do that? Cool, I'll do it. That's great. We're going to win championships. Let's do
that. I hope that happens. I had no idea that he was available.
Yeah, man. Him, Darren Collison, if you really hate yourself.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague. Actually,
hey, where's Ray McCallum? Is he available? I mean, he's on Charlotte right now.
Oh, geez, now I have to look.
Yeah, if you could bring back some Ray McCallum, I'd be all about that.
Oh, I am not seeing it. He spells it like your last name, right?
Yeah.
He's not available.
Of course,
apparently.
He's not, because he's way too valuable.
Sorry, he's not a free agent at all. Who is though? JaVale McGee, James McAdoo, and Ben McLemore.
Oh, hush. When you said Ben McLemore, I got tripped up on the pseudo-rapper.
I was going to say he does not come with Ryan Lewis.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, they've got the point is they've got options. And yes. So they've got options of free agency that don't involve a big contract like Chris Paul. Now, right. If Darren Williams wins the title, he's going to command a little bit of money. But, dude, I did not know that George Hill was available. If George Hill's available, I think conversation over. How cool would that be? Because it's not like they're taking a flyer. He's a good player, man. Like, he was really
good. They know exactly
good
what they're going to get out of him. And he's already familiar with Popovich.
Yeah.
That's an advantage right there.
And he was really good with Indiana. And he was really good with Utah. I mean, he's been great with Utah.
I love him with Utah.
Exactly. Really, really
and
nice
Utah's going to have to go out and spend money on Gordon Hayward to keep him. So that might free up George Hill to sign with the Spurs.
I like it, man. I like it a lot. Well, let's talk about, I mean, continue the point guard conversation. What makes me smile about Tony Parker being injured, right? About having his quad ripped off.
You sick man.
I know. Is that this seems like a natural handoff in the storyline, because you're going to have a player with an opportunity. DeJounte Murray's going to have an opportunity to be the starter for this team, right? I mean, he's the starter right now, isn't he? I mean, isn't he the starting player?
Yeah, I would put him. I would put him ahead of Patty Mills and Bryn Forbes.
Yeah,
because everybody likes Patty Mills off the bench, and Bryn Forbes just isn't ready.
He's not ready yet. Yeah. So in the off season, leading into October of next year, you're DeJounte Murray's number one on your depth chart. He's going to have the opportunity to stay at that number one spot until at least January, right? So 2 full months of real basketball through the Christmas Day games, and he has an opportunity to establish himself. At that time, when Tony Parker comes back, does Tony Parker take the starting job back, or is this the perfect opportunity for Popovich to do a segue and a handoff from Tony Parker to DeJounte Murray as the starter and let Tony Parker come off the bench? I think it couldn't have been written better from a San Antonio storyline perspective to have this happen.
The people at Disney would love this. This is what they live for. I also think it could be an interesting situation, because I don't think we're going to get an obvious it'll be somewhat obvious of a handoff, but I think what will happen is Tony Parker will be available and he'll work himself back in as a backup. And if he shows that he should be starting, I think Popovich will just give it back to him, but DeJounte Murray will still be getting a ton of minutes as the backup. I that is a possibility. I don't know if that will happen, but I would hold off the super optimism for that scenario as well.
So if he's playing out of his mind, DeJounte Murray, that is, Popovich is going to sit him because of loyalty to Tony?
Well, no. If DeJounte Murray is playing out of his mind and has shown that he's going to be the dude, you don't stop that. You don't sit it. I'm just saying, if Tony Parker comes back, he plays really well, and Murray's just kind of okay, or Murray hasn't really done anything to make you say he needs to stay our starter, then Tony Parker starts again. But DeJounte Murray still gets a ton of minutes.
Yeah,
he's still depending on who that other point guard you get in the offseason is. DeJounte Murray should still be the second guy.
Yeah, because right now you're talking about them having – yeah, this is a good point, man. What a problem to have, because they're going to go out and they're going to get another point guard. They're going to have to, right? Because
– Well, we've already decided they're getting George Hill, so they obviously have to do that.
Well, we're assuming that Patty leaves, right? And so if Patty's gone, which, I mean, I hope the guy gets paid. You're just looking out for him, right? I hope that he gets paid.
Yeah, just like Corey Joseph did.
Exactly. I hope he gets paid a ridiculous amount of money that the Spurs can't match and so on and so on. I mean, I'd love to have Patty stay forever. I mean, I think he's great, essentially playing the two guard off the bench, right? I really like that for him. I like it for San Antonio, but I also like that guy to get rich, right? And
you want to see him do good.
Yeah, there's a point where he's just not going to get paid by San Antonio. He just can't, right? This is the way the money works. He just can't.
They don't have the cap space because thanks, LaMarcus.
Right, it all comes back to him, right? So they're gonna be picking up a free agent point guard. Like just using Jason Terry's contract as an example. I mean, that's a $1.5 million to $2 million deal. He had a really good year with Milwaukee, but
he did.
Say it's a $2 million deal, right? So you're gonna have Jason Terry, Jason Eugene Terry, Tony Parker and DeJounte Murray, you know, there's somebody who's not getting minutes. Because remember, DeJounte Murray was – he played in Austin all year, you know, in the D-League, and just got called up at the end. So there were no minutes to spare at the NBA level. So, I mean, would you just cut that free agent that you picked up when Tony comes back?
You can't cut him. If it's the jet, you definitely can't cut him.
It's too late in the year.
It's too late in the year, and then it looks like you did him dirty.
Yeah.
And the Spurs can't be having that.
Well, you know what would be nice is if, you know, a guy like the Jet, I just love, man, I hope he's there. I just hope he's there to rub it in Jose's face because he hates the Jet. But if he's you know, he plays a nice style of ball where it really it protects you from a Manu Ginobili retirement because he could play that Manu role. You know,
Personally, I think if Manu Ginobili retires, Adam Hanga comes over from overseas and takes his place.
Okay.
Because the Spurs still own his rights, I think, for this year. And then after that, he can go wherever he wants. So if Manu Ginobili does retire, I'm fairly certain Adam Hanga would come over and he would play.
So, see, this is such a great offseason. I needed a little bit of space between the end of the Spurs season until this podcast because – you know, I was really down on that whole situation. And then, you know, just talking to you has just put a smile on my face, man, because this offseason is really exciting because there's so many different ways that the Spurs can go. You know, keep LaMarcus, dump LaMarcus, get this free agent, get that free agent. What do you do with Tony? I mean, there's a lot of stories going into this offseason, aren't there?
Yeah, this is probably one of those summers where you really absolutely have no idea what the Spurs are doing. Like, you know, 2 years ago you said, okay, the Spurs have to re-sign Kawhi. They got to give him his max. He's earned that. He's a finals MVP. Obviously, he's got to get his money.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, they got to figure out his money, and then we got to figure out a way to get LaMarcus here.
Right.
And they got LaMarcus here, and it's like, okay, now it's just like fleshing out the rest of the roster where it's like, okay, who are a bunch of minimum guys we can get? And they found a bunch of minimum guys who are actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
they're probably going to make themselves money this offseason. So,
and you're not so hot on Bryn Forbes. I've caught that a few times here. But, like, what about – I mean, in the opportunities that he got to play, he's done pretty well, man. Like, he hasn't screwed it up.
No, he's solid. You know? I just don't think he's quite as ready as DeJounte Murray. And you know, it's just that the really, really short point guards scare me. I think he's maybe 5'11" or 6 feet at most. And that kind of scares me as a point guard because at that point, you're reaching Isaiah Thomas territory where it's like, okay, who could he possibly guard? Like the really good point guards in the league are taller than him and they can all shoot over him or, you know, he's not going to be able to guard him or whatever. It's not that I don't like Bryn Forbes. He's a good shooter too. I like that he's a shooter.
Right.
I can dig that. I love Gary Neal unconditionally and irrationally, so I can dig shooting.
So I know that you look at Bryn Forbes and it's really easy to say the guy's really short, but what if I told you he was 6'3"? He just looks a lot smaller. It looks like he plays smaller than that. I'm with you, but he's 6'3".
Oh my God, why did I think he wasn't?
Well, he looks smaller than that. I mean, he does.
That's so weird.
There's no doubt. He's 6'3", 190. So he's bigger than TP.
Screw everything I just said.
Yeah, I mean,
what do I know?
He needs time to develop, for sure. But when he's gotten in there, man, he's a three-point shooter, dude. I mean, in Michigan State, he was a solid three-point shooter. He's been solid. He was solid in Austin. He's solid in his NBA opportunities. I like him on that, but I think that if you could get a guy like, you know, well, any of the point guards that we talked about, right, you have to get them first. And Bryn Forbes just plays another year in the D-League.
Yeah, and you let him develop a little bit. And, I mean, he's 23. He's still young. There's time for him. It's not really the issue.
Right.
It's just, you know, you have to decide, are we going to try and get him minutes so that he can become trade bait or – do we want to actually use him or are we going to end up not needing him at all because we have all these guys already?
Right.
So, you know, if Bryn Forbes shows us something in the summer or perhaps perhaps, you know, the Spurs staff sees something out of him that they didn't see during the season or whatever, and they say, okay, we really like this kid, we trust this kid, he'll be our third point guard. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, well, now we don't need to go out and sign one of those other point guards, and we can spend money elsewhere, maybe on another small forward after Kawhi Leonard, or, you know, a big man, a power forward or a center, depending on if Pau Gasol comes back. So, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing if the Spurs all of a sudden decided Bryn Forbes is our third PG, we're good with it, let's go do something else. Or that, you know, even if they draft someone else.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, I agree. It gives them some options.
They have plenty of good options even at 29. While all of, you know, the top talent is in the lottery this year, mm-hmm. there's plenty of dudes later in the first round and even in the second round who can contribute to a team that does, that can allow them to grow and progress in their career.
Yeah, and they've always found those kind of players, right? That kind of talent. So I don't worry about them in the draft, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Spurs may be able to use the draft to bolster their roster right away rather than trying to go out and find someone in free agency.
Right, right. Well, hey, what about like the segue? Hey, man, what about those NBA finals? Because I just realized we got to start moving along to the show. How about those NBA finals? Third time in 3 years. That's such a bogus segue. third time in 3 years. You got Cleveland and LeBron James and his group of flunkies are going to go play Golden State again with Kevin Durant. So we're going to do podcasts throughout the finals, but just kind of predictions. I mean, how do you feel, not just record-wise, but what's going to be the vibe of the finals? Like, even that first game, which is Thursday night, I mean, how are things going to start to unfold? And then, like, talk to me about, you know, how it's going to – what's the vibe going to be, and then who's going to win the championship this year?
All right. I have Golden State in six, mm-hmm. personally. I get this feeling the first game is going to be super sloppy because both teams have been off for way too long. I really don't know who's going to win, but I'm super excited to watch the JaVale McGee versus Tristan Thompson show. That's going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. And I really hope Cleveland loses because they have their one championship. Deal with it, bro. Live with that. So yeah, that's how I feel. But I think the first game is going to be a bit sloppy, but I think after that, the intensity is going to be there. The defense is, well, we'll see if the defense is there because Cleveland was terrible in the regular season, but they found ways to win in the postseason. So I think whoever plays the better defense, I mean, I guess you could say that's pretty obvious, but whoever plays the better defense is going to win. Whoever can limit offensive boards. So if the Warriors don't let Tristan Thompson get a stupid amount of offensive rebounds because they refuse to box out, they should win. Because Tristan Thompson, I swear, he generates at least 5 to 10 extra possessions for the Cleveland Cavaliers every
right.
game.
Right.
So if you can limit those, you have a good chance of winning.
I agree with you. Up to the point where you've got Golden State winning, I really feel like, first off, the first game is going to suck. Like, if you're going to pick a game to go do something else, you want to go to Chuck E. Cheese or anything else, you know, you can tell I have a little kid, right?
Yes.
Anything else
in your
life. I was
going to say, grown men going to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Okay.
yeah, you don't want to do that. They might look at you funny. Like, sir, do you have a child here? No. No big deal.
I'm here for the ball pit.
Hey-o. that might get us kicked off of the station. But you don't watch game one. I mean, it's going to suck. They've been off for a month, it seems. Certainly, what was it, May 22nd? Was that the last game?
I think it was all we've gotten are terrible Skip Bayless hot takes.
Yeah,
the finals needs to be over just so we can stop talking, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they got to get this thing started. So I would skip out on game one. I think that Cleveland takes this, but I think it's another seven-game series, and I think it's another victory in dramatic fashion. And I think that LeBron does it again. I think that they beat Golden State, and then that's it for Golden State. I mean, to be quite honest with you, because you have a certain amount of time where you're set to capitalize, right? And they've been there three times in a row, won it once, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of that run because they're not going to be able to pay that team. And once you no longer have a four-headed monster, I mean, Draymond Green is not a difference maker. He's a solid player. I hate him. I mean, if I wasn't such a scared little boy, like I would punch him in the head, you know? Because I just don't like the way he plays. I just don't dig anything about him. I'm not a Draymond Green guy.
Oh, it's just incredible to me how the refs just put up with him for so long. They
put up with all that bogus.
You give him that first tech, and he's still going after you later in the game, doing the exact same thing. But you don't want to give him his second tee.
Yeah,
that's what's incredible to me. I mean, and it's the same with some guys. They're like Cleveland. They're just whiners. Both teams are real whiners, not like Clippers level whiners. But I mean, they got dudes who will whine all day to the refs, and I hate that stuff. Just play. The refs aren't going to get everything. And frankly, you're all grown men. Half the stuff that gets called shouldn't be called. Half the stuff that doesn't get called should be called. So deal with it.
I agree. I mean, and so he's got that. He's not a difference maker. And so when you can't pay a guy like Klay Thompson, well, then you got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Well, we've seen that in Oklahoma City, right? Different style of play out of the point guard position. But just when you have a one-off player, and in fact, I tell you what, Oklahoma City probably had a better situation with Kevin Durant as your primary scorer than you would with Steph Curry because you have two perimeter players, you know, with KD and Steph. Whereas when you had it with Russell Westbrook and KD, you had this guy who's going to be a fireball going to the basket, right? It was like all over the place. You didn't know where Russell Westbrook was going to be, and KD could just hang out on the perimeter. You're going to have that same – you're going to have a different situation, but you're going to be able to lock those two – I'm not saying lock them out. They're still going to be good players. You know, you're talking about two defending MVPs, right? But it's going to be easier to defend. I think that Cleveland's going to win this year. I think it's probably going to be seven games, and I think that's the end for Golden State. I think that the Spurs have an easier run next year.
I think you're probably right, but I think if Golden State wins, then KD opts out because he's got a one-and-one deal. So he says, all right, I got my ring. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And he opts out, and then Golden State ends up getting to keep Curry because they don't have to pay Durant, but they got to pay Curry this offseason, and he ain't taking another discount.
Right.
So – That's going to have to change. Something's going to have to happen there. Mm-hmm. But and at some point, the Cavaliers are going to have to fall apart because they're so far over the cap limit. They're stupidly far over, and they're paying repeater taxes. So, I mean, at some point you have to say, okay, well, we need to have some sort of flexibility when we're trying to sign free agents and stuff. So, I mean, they're going to have to lose somebody. They're going to have to lose somebody who's getting paid a lot of money, and it's like, who does that become? But as far as the series itself goes, getting back to that, I think you might have overestimated Kyrie Irving's defensive abilities because I don't think he can stop anybody, even when he's not James Harden levels. Like, I don't give an F, but there are times where he's just like, it's fine. I have Tristan Thompson and LeBron behind me.
Yeah.
Here's my Matador cape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see him being able to guard anybody. Tristan Thompson isn't really a defensive monster. He's a rebounding monster. So I think – I know you don't like Draymond Green, but I think with him they have an advantage in Draymond Green if Tristan Thompson's guarding him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, LeBron's always going to have the advantage on whoever's guarding him. And then I think whoever guards Kevin Love should be fine. I mean, if that could also be Draymond Green. So yeah,
it's going to be really interesting because you bring up a good point. Because remember, Matthew Dellavedova, if you can even remember that dude. But I mean, his play was a direct contribution to that title. Defensive.
It was.
You know, it wasn't – you're totally right. I mean, maybe – could you count on the combination of – this is what sucks about this next statement. Could you count on Kyrie Irving and Deron Williams to be equal defensively to Matthew Dellavedova? And I don't think you can.
Sadly, no.
I don't think you can. Like, I don't think you, it's ridiculous. But you're right. I mean, maybe they don't have this. I'm still going with my bet. I still have Cleveland 7 games in the dismantling of Golden State, which leaves a prime opportunity for these San Antonio Spurs.
Especially because the Clippers suck and they're never going to be any good.
No, they'll be out of this. All right, man. Hey, well, how about we close this out and we meet up again later in the week and talk finals?
Oh, yeah, make it happen.
All right, man. Well, Ben, thank you so much. That is it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cats. Spurs Cast, I should say. Catch up with Ben at where, Ben? Where can they get you on the Twitterverse?
On the Twitters at @the_Boomstein.
And me, I'm at @RyanMC_PS. Follow us or any of the Project Spurs folks. Definitely do not follow at JRG1023. Do not follow him and do not send him any hate mail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, do not follow at JRG1023.
We just did you a favor, Jose.
Yeah, stay away from Jose. Follow any of us. Don't follow Jose, but make sure you're following at Project Spurs. Ben, thank you so much. And to you listeners, you're welcome.